Hello, and welcome to Sekihan. Today, why 30-centimeter waves can still drown you, and the layers of preparation that decide who survives at the water's edge. In the first 10 days of August, 2026, fatal water accidents struck Japan in quick succession. On the Ibaraki coast, three women swimming off a beach were pulled under by waves, and a 23-year-old died. The spot was not a designated bathing beach. It sat near a headland, an artificial promontory where rip currents form easily. In Aichi, a 40-year-old father drowned in a river while rescuing his son. The boy survived. And near Kakudahama Beach in Niigata, a father and two children were knocked off afloat. The 13-year-old daughter and 8-year-old son died. The waves that day were reported at around 30 centimeters, about 1 foot high. Why do people drown in water that looks perfectly safe? Here are the three questions I want to ask. 1. Why do fatal accidents happen in calm-looking water? 2. Why doesn't the confidence of I can swim protect you? 3. What preparation actually saves lives? I will come back to all three questions at the end of the video. First, what the three accidents had in common. Let's line up what the three accidents had in common. First, the place. The Ibaraki site was not a bathing beach, but a headland area the prefecture designates as off-limits to swimming. Second, the equipment. The Niigata accident began when a toy float was pushed out by the waves. And in all three cases, no one was wearing a life jacket. Meanwhile, in Niigata, a swimming advisory had been in effect since that morning. The information existed. It just never turned into action. We will come back to that structure in the analysis. Now, who actually drowns in Japan's summer? The statistics are not what most people picture. In the National Police Agency's count, for July and August of 2025, 241 people died or went missing in water accidents. The largest single activity was not swimming. It was fishing at 52 people, over 1 in 5. People aged 65 and over made up 44.8%. That is a long way from the image of a child who cannot swim. And the agency describes the past 5 summers as broadly flat. In other words, this is not an unusual year. It is a scene that repeats every summer. Some background. The water hides forces that never show up in how it looks. On the same August 10th in Akita, a 70-year-old man fishing in a river fell, was carried downstream and died. The water was about 1 meter deep, roughly waist height. In a current, once you go down, standing back up is the hard part. And a river's water level is set by the weather upstream, not by the blue sky above you. Japan's police advise against fishing, swimming, or riverside barbecues whenever upstream rain makes a rise in the water likely. The sea's version of that hidden force is the rip current. A narrow channel of water flowing from the shore out to sea, 10 to 30 meters wide, moving at up to 2 meters per second, the speed of a river rapid. Ibaraki Prefecture states that even an Olympic-level swimmer would be carried out by it. And around headlands, like the one at the Ibaraki site, rip current accidents run at 6 times the rate of ordinary beaches. The Japan Coast Guard's advice centers on one thing: do not swim back against the flow. If you can, swim parallel to the shore and out of the current. If you can't, float in a comfortable position and wait for rescue. Which one applies depends on the shape of the current and on the strength you have left. One more fact that changes how you supervise. Drowning is often silent. A drowning person can go under with no shout and no splashing at all. The finding goes back to 1970s America, where a former lifeguard analyzed footage of real drownings. Japan's Children and Families Agency states it plainly: a drowning child makes no sound and sinks quietly. So supervision has to work through the eyes, not the ears. When families visit the water together, decide in advance who is watching. That is the simplest defense against this property. And remember, rings and floats are toys, not life-saving equipment. Let go, and the buoyancy is gone. Wind and current carry it away from your body. Parents dying in the act of rescue is not unique to Japan, and Reddit has had this exact conversation. In April 2026 in Florida, a father died after saving his 12-year-old son and 9-year-old daughter from a rip current. The r/news thread on his death drew about 20,000 upvotes and over 1,000 comments. What filled the thread was not eulogy, but explanation. The top comment cited the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration and walked through the standard advice: don't swim toward shore, swim parallel to it, out of the current. But in the same thread, the pushback against that textbook answer piled up. One user grew up in Florida, knew all about rip currents, and still nearly drowned at 16. Their conclusion: knowing the danger doesn't mean you recognize it happening until it's too late. Swimming with a child in your arms is a different story, said another. And then the blunt one: I'm so tired of people saying just swim parallel from their couch. Get caught in one yourself, they continued, and you learn it is exhausting and not always easy to escape. Where did the argument land? On the same conclusion. Recent research says some beaches circulate the water in loops, where swimming parallel can backfire, and floating while waiting for rescue is the better move. What holds everywhere? Stay afloat, and don't panic. The most striking comment came from a longtime lifeguard. I'm a confident swimmer, but when I need to support another person in open water, I never rely on skill alone. That is why, they wrote, I wear a flotation belt myself. Now the analysis. Question 1, why calm-looking water kills, has largely been answered by the background. The visible indicators, wave, height, and depth, sit apart from the actual dangers, currents, and silent drowning. So, question 2, why doesn't I can swim protect you? Because swimming in a pool and swimming in a current, in clothes, in cold water, in a panic, are different abilities. Japan's education ministry notes that water accidents typically happen in seas and rivers, with the victim fully clothed. Worse, confidence in swimming changes where people choose to go. The decision to enter an unpatrolled beach or a no-swimming zone is usually made on the assumption that one can swim. The danger sits in the water. Swimming ability does not cancel it. Question 3, what actually saves lives? Starts from one idea: don't bet on your judgment in the moment. The Coast Guard's textbook answer is that entering the water to rescue someone is dangerous. Secure yourself, use equipment. But asking a parent watching their own child go under to stop and look for a tool is a demand that is hard to execute. Diving in is a natural response. No one can fault the father in Aichi for that choice. Which means the outcome is really decided before you reach the water. Choose a patrolled beach. Wear the gear. Assign a watcher. Carry something that floats. And a way to call for help. Each layer buys survival time for the moment when judgment fails. That is what preparation is for. There is one number that shows what a layer is worth: the fatality rate among people who fell overboard from boats. Among those wearing a life jacket, 11% died. Among those not wearing one, 52%. That is the Japan Coast Guard's count. Roughly 1 in 10 versus 1 in 2. That gap corresponds to a single piece of equipment. One important caveat: this is data on people who fell from boats. It cannot be applied directly to swimmers. No domestic statistic yet measures the effect of wearing one while swimming, but the direction the number points is hard to ignore. So why is this equipment mandatory on boats, but not even a habit at the water's edge? Since 2018, life jackets have been mandatory in principle for everyone aboard a small vessel in Japan. That rule works because a boat has a captain, a designated responsible party, and a license system behind them. A beach has no captain. Coasts and rivers have no license, and no one to verify compliance. The supervision infrastructure is shrinking too. Beaches open for swimming fell from 1,379 in 1993 to 969 in 2024, down about 30%. The case for a mandate is straightforward. Children can't assess danger themselves, and the boat data shows the equipment works. The case for caution is equally practical. Who verifies compliance? Different activities need different gear, and an ill-fitting device can manufacture new overconfidence. This video doesn't pick a side, but there are layers a family can add without waiting for the law, and that is the final chapter. Let's close by returning to the three questions. 1. Why do fatal accidents happen in calm-looking water? Because 30-centimeter waves are what you see, and the actual dangers, currents, and silent drowning are what you don't. 2. Why doesn't I Can Swim protect you? Because a rip current moves at 2 meters per second, outside the range, any swimmer, even an Olympian, can solve with skill. 3. What saves lives? Not one tool, but the number of layers you stacked before anything went wrong. Here is what those layers look like. 5 things to remember before you go to the water. 1. Adults and children alike wear a life jacket fitted to the body. 2. At a river, check the weather upstream, not just overhead, and at the sea, check the advisories. 3. Swim only at patrolled beaches. Stay out of no swimming zones and away from headlands. 4. If you are swept out, don't fight the current. Swim parallel to shore if you can. If not, float, keep breathing, and wait. 5. If someone else is swept out, don't go in. Throw something that floats and call for rescue. The life jacket is the last layer, the one that buys time for rescue when every other layer has failed. Let me close with a phrase used by Japan's transport ministry. A life jacket is the seatbelt of the river. We didn't stop driving cars. The habit of buckling up is what cut the deaths. Gear at the water's edge belongs in the same place. Whether Japan should mandate it is a debate still to come. A family's habit doesn't have to wait for the verdict. Next time you head to the water, have flotation ready for every member of the family in advance. That is today's conclusion. The full article covers the statistics in more detail, along with the complete Reddit thread. The link is in the description. Thanks for watching.